Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Keith.
And this is Jesse.
From New Player Has Joined.
Guys, if you're familiar with Banter, the comedy app that lets you in on conversations between hilarious comedians, the people who made Banter have now made the Banter Minute. If you're a true crime fan, go to banterminute.com/truecrime, and you'll get a one-minute rundown of some cool and interesting true crime stuff every day.
I mean, the East Side Strangler just got caught. You want to know that immediately.
If you're a person who likes murder.
I love murder.
So guys, banterminute.com/truecrime. Just go there, subscribe. You'll get a one-minute quick rundown that'll make your day a lot better. Check it out, guys. banterminute.com/truecrime.
Wait, okay, so you don't iMessage on your computer?
No, I do not.
Why?
Well, I think it's annoying if I'm, like, working to have my phone buzz and then my computer go off.
But then firstly, you can set it so that your computer doesn't make any noise and you can just, like, tune into iMessage as you please.
Okay. I haven't fucked around with the settings, I guess.
I feel like that has advanced my life.
Really?
So
I mean,
much.
It would be nice to, because I have I purposely got the smaller iPhone because I like the size of it, but it's harder to type.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly typing typos to friends.
That's,
it's very embarrassing.
That's awful. Because
as a writer, it's embarrassing.
You should be, like, I don't understand how you're, like, sending long dramatic texts without having the ability to do so from your computer.
I don't think I'm ever sending long dramatic texts. It's mostly like, I mostly only text about like
plans.
Basketball.
Oh.
And like comics. I don't like to other comics. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, all you text about.
Yeah. And that's also like the dangerous thing is like, I think like I talk so much shit that there's a danger if I'm on my computer, if an iMessage pops up, then it's just kind of like out in the open.
Right. It's interesting that you can say the specific things that you text about. Like I could never do that because I text about everything because that's how I communicate.
Right.
Like everything that's happening, which I don't like because in college I noticed that texting was becoming the new thing and I like decided to put my foot down and take texting. That was when you could take texting off your phone. And I did that for a month as an experiment to see like what friends I would lose just to be like a cool girl.
Right.
But
that is cool.
Thank you. Well, I accomplished what I set out to do. We have a special guest in the studio who is looking at me like I'm a monster.
Right. But I don't have a microphone.
Well, now you do.
Yeah. For the time being. But
okay.
Joe is the guest. I feel
so
like you... Okay, you and I will share a microphone when we need to. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, it's me. I'm Dave. And here's Joe's microphone.
Okay. Dave, a.k.a. Darnell.
Yes, that's right. For the old school listeners.
For the day ones, you know, that voice is Darnell's.
The OG friends. And just for people who don't know who you are, which I can't imagine they're out there, but you're a comedian. Why are you laughing? Dave?
Dave.
I don't have a microphone. What am I supposed
What? Because it's a funny thing to say because it's people probably, it is hard to imagine that someone listening to this doesn't know who Joe is because if they're listening to this, they're probably a fan of comedy.
Yeah, I mean,
comedy.
Like the Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap. But there's a very good chance someone listening doesn't know who I am.
Right. In the abstract, it's funny.
And that's also the whole point of this, is so that there are people who don't know who you are.
That is true, but I guess what's funny to me is that that's the thing that you could only say on a comedy podcast is like, I can't imagine there are people who don't know who Joe Mandy is, but if you were introducing him on like the Tonight Show or something, that would be, then it would be a very silly thing to say.
I mean, based on the comments on the trailer for my Netflix special, it's a lot of like, who the fuck is this? Who is this guy? Why'd you give this guy a special?
Wait, that's so funny. Yeah. Because, like, obviously you shouldn't... Like, why do people expect to know everyone who's coming out with a comedy special?
Also, it's... Yeah, I mean, all the comment... anyone leaving a comment on a YouTube video is a trash person. But, like...
I need to remind myself that.
It's so funny because it's like, who is this guy? Fuck this guy. But then it's also like, shouldn't the trailer be funny? And it's like... I guess it should, but also, like... Has there been a memorable trailer for a comedy special that you walked away from being like, that was a funny trailer?
No.
I'm going to watch that special now because the trailer was
funny. You can't really make a comedy special funny in a trailer because it's...
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I want to actually sing Joe's praises here for a second, not to be lame, but what Joe did in his trailer is he made the trailer funny without using... too many jokes from the show.
Oh yeah, he used one joke.
And basically he made a joke out of... I'll explain. Basically, like, the joke is that all the quotes are like highbrow quotes about how, like, one, you know, entertaining and award worthy the special is, and then there's just quick like shots of Joe talking about shitting.
Yeah, pooping. Shitting my pants. Yeah.
It's fun. And that's a well done trailer. Like, there's one central joke to the trailer as opposed to like hearing jokes.
Right. That was the thing. It was like, I spoke to people on Netflix and like, I kind of explained my idea for the trailer and it was just like, I don't know if this is good, but I at least know it's a joke. I don't know if it's a good joke, but
so the trailer is a joke as opposed to a trailer full of jokes. It's just a trailer that's a joke.
Yeah,
I'm just repeating.
No, she's reiterating.
That's how I learned, by the way. Weren't you ever in college and like, you know, they said a lesson.
Dave, did you go to college?
And then they say a lesson, and then you repeat it back to them, and then like that's how you really understand it in your own words and your own voice. Yeah,
that's generally not how college education, in my experience, worked. It wasn't like exercises in repetition.
Well, your college sounds whack. I don't know where you went to college. Wait, where'd you go?
Donut's answering.
Well,
that was dog for Harvard.
I actually was a student who took advantage of office hours, which, by the way, when I discovered office hours, that was like the lottery, because you find that you have all this like free access to one-on-one time with TAs and stuff. And that is how I learned, is they would say a lesson directly to me and I would repeat it back to them.
That's great.
Thank you. Dave, you're making a face. Oh, that's great. Thank you. I'm a bright student, I guess. Anyway.
I wish they taught you microphones to your podcast.
Well, that's a Feral Audio issue, and you can take that up with them. Anyways, so Joe,
yeah,
when is your special coming out?
It comes out Tuesday, July 25th.
So is this your first special?
It's my first hour special. Yeah.
And before that, you did?
I did a half hour for Comedy Central like 4 or 5 years ago.
And I didn't officially say that you're a comedy writer, stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. actor. Dave, mm-hmm. why are you laughing? Just shut up. I'm just going to ignore him.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're laughing at me and I'm like trying to do my job that I don't get paid for.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So you've written for Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. and you've also been on that show. Mm-hmm. You write for The Good Place. Mm-hmm. You're on Modern Family.
Ben.
I'm Ben. No last name on Modern Family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
It's cool.
Yeah.
I get recognized in the Heartland.
What is the Heartland?
I mean, it's a general phrase. I think it's just like anything east of Los Angeles and west of New York.
So you think like the whole country watches that show, but just not people here?
I'm just from my experience, like touring and stuff. Like when I was in, for example, in Dallas, I got recognized at a bar by two cotton farmers from Arkansas, and we had a long discussion about Japanese whiskey.
Wow.
And it was a great night. It was right before the election. I was like, you know what? Maybe America's not bad after all.
Were they Trump supporters?
Probably. We didn't get into it. I said, we only talked about, they were drinking, you know, good old American whiskey, and the bartender was trying to upsell them on Japanese whiskey, and they were like, that sounds weird. And then I was like, it's not, it's really good. And they're like, really? And then they're like, hey, don't I know you from Modern Family? And
oh, so you were like a fancy city boy being like,
kinda. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that. I just feel like I'm a connoisseur of whiskeys, and I was like, you shouldn't like dismiss Japanese whiskey just because it's Japanese, you know?
Oh, you think they were racist?
I don't think it was racist. I think they were stuck in their ways, yeah, and like they had never even heard of Japanese whiskey, so they were just like
skeptical.
Yeah, very. And then I was like, guys, round on me. Let's try this Japanese whiskey. It was great. It was a great night, and then the world fell apart. A week later. But it's a fun, that was a fun moment on tour, and it was relevant because they were like, you're Ben. They didn't say, but no one knows the character's name, but like, you're that little Jew from Modern Family. seemed to be the tone.
We were at dinner last night, and I have to share this because I've been thinking about it all day. You ordered a drink,
yeah,
and the waiter told you that that was the exact drink that Gwyneth Paltrow ordered.
That was very strange because it wasn't like a unusual drink. It wasn't like I asked for like a Rob Roy or, you know what I mean? Like it was I asked for Maker's Mark on the rocks, and then he was very excited to be like, that's the exact drink Gwyneth Paltrow ordered.
So that's not a fancy, interesting order.
No, it's whiskey with ice. It's nothing.
I was at dinner too. I almost feel like whatever you said,
he was going to say,
he was going to be like, that's what Gwyneth ordered. He just wanted you.
He wanted me to the table to know that Gwyneth Paltrow ate there recently.
And he said that it was like a private function, right? It was a Gwyneth, like a side room or something.
She had like a private room.
Yeah.
Can I say Din Tai Fung?
I don't see why not. I mean, the waiter himself was letting us know.
Worst case scenario, you guys get sponsored by Din Tai Fung, which is
be nothing better.
I mean, nothing better. That place is the best.
I don't think that they give a fuck about. In fact, they definitely don't. I mean, beside obvious reasons, but they are so stingy. It's one of my favorite restaurants. But like one time, they made us. We ordered to go, and they made the wrong dish. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, can you remake it? And they're like, the kitchen's closed. Well, don't worry. We won't charge you, and we'll take the wrong dish back.
Wait, you took it back?
Yeah. I'm like, well, we'll keep it. You made it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, then we have to charge you.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
And then I told them, I was like, I need to speak to someone else. Like, this is not how this can go down at all. Like, because now we're not getting our food, and we're not getting any sort of like free gift for this inconvenience. And then the next person I spoke to, the way they settled this was they reopened the kitchen and made it, but there was no, so we had to wait longer.
Right.
We got what we wanted, but there was no sort of like, we still paid
the
full price, which is like not normal, but they know because every time you go there, there's like a 2-hour wait. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. That said, I think we should sing their praises so you can just open up that possibility.
It's not a possibility. There's no chance.
What's your favorite thing there?
I like the rice cakes, which you introduced me to.
Yeah,
they're
the rice
so
cakes.
Good.
And obviously the soup dumplings. That goes without saying.
Wait, while we're on the topic of restaurants being odd, at Sugarfish, do you eat at Sugarfish? Mm-hmm. So I just started eating sushi in the last year. And
oh, congrats.
Thank you. I feel like I've evolved into the new me. And so if you order tuna sashimi, it comes in this little tray that has ponzu sauce in it.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only way you can get ponzu sauce. So I always like save that tray.
Sure.
So I can dip my other things in
it.
And occasionally it will slip past you and someone will take it away. You know, they try to take it away. Like, no, I'm saving it.
I'm still eating
that. Yeah. Or I'm saving the sauce. And somehow this last time I was there, they took the tray out. I didn't notice. And then I was like, you guys took it. And I was saving it for the sauce. And they're like, we'll be right back. Like, we're going to look into this. Yeah. I was like, can I have some ponzu sauce? That's right.
Sure.
And they're like, we're not sure. Hold on. And they came back and she was like, we can't give you ponzu sauce, but we're just going to give you a new order of tuna sashimi. For free.
That's so strange. I know. I mean, that's great though. That's the opposite. Maybe you guys should get sponsored by Sugar. I have an issue at restaurants where like you order, say a sandwich. You're with another person and then you're like, can you, do you mind cutting the sandwich in half so we can share it? And then they'll be like, the chef doesn't want, we can bring you a knife for, just for you to cut it. But, presentation wise, the chef would rather not do that.
Can you name names as to where this is?
Night Market Song does that with their chicken sandwich, but that's like that's a symptom nationwide, I think.
I'm
constantly trying to share things and like, no, please. You can attempt this, but we're not gonna dare ruin it. Cause it's always about the presentation and like, I love eating. I love fancy food, but ultimately like this product becomes fecal matter. You know what I mean? It's just like at the end of the day, like you can cut it in half. Like, let's not like pretend.
I will say that I'm now realizing you must be such a food person because I've had so many great food experiences that I owe to you.
Oh, thank
because
you.
When we went to Australia.
Oh yeah.
You had the best food. Like literally every day in Australia, we were like, oh my God, Joe Mandy. Thank you, Joe Mandy.
That's great.
Like praise
I ate
to
like
you.
A king in Australia. I really did. I was by myself and the like exchange rate was so bad in the American dollar's favor that like it was almost like I was just like, well, I'm basically eating for free. Like that's how I mean that's not true at all.
No,
but like I was eating
exaggerating
these, like,
the
I was like
rate.
Eating like insane food for like lunch and dinner every day and really just I was lonely and I just bawled out and yeah. I ate and I was reading Infinite Jest at the time. Finished it in Australia.
How did you like find all those great restaurants? Was that just by chance? Because like literally every restaurant we went to that you recommended was a heavy hitting.
I did some
experience.
Research and I spoke to a couple Australians that gave me some advice. Yeah. But like Melbourne is like top notch.
The Thai place that we went to in... What was this in Adelaide?
That place is so good,
like,
right?
Like, what is going on? That was the best meal. And I remember...
Lucky Duck?
Yeah, something like that.
No.
Damn,
what's the name?
You don't know? You don't remember?
I don't, but I remember that place. I just... Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was the best Thai food. And I was so sick. And the bartender made me this, like, lychee sparkling water drink. And I just... The Pad Thai, I'm, like, still chasing that experience. I might fly there one day just for that.
I'm looking forward to going back to Australia.
Are you going? Do you have plans to?
No, but like I can't wait. Yeah. And also like we had a long discussion at work recently about like where do you go? Like if America like fell apart, purge style, and you had to like leave over, you had like one night to like pack up and move. Like where would you go? And Australia makes a lot of sense for like. For us, it's an English-speaking country. They do have entertainment industry that's sort of like...
They do?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange as fuck. I was watching Australian TV while I was there. And I was like, this is bizarre, but at least it exists. Like, I feel like I could get work there. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand's great, too. Australia has, like, nuclear weapons and stuff. Like, it's like a real country. Not that... I was only in New Zealand for 48 hours, but I had a great time there. I could live in New Zealand, I think.
No one talks about Australia like, oh, the food is amazing, but that is my biggest takeaway. The food was so good.
The food in Melbourne specifically, like, blew my mind.
The flat whites.
Flat. Okay, I will.
A flat Y.
I will say.
No.
The Australia has a thing with milk that threw me for a loop. Like everyone there, like flat whites are just like 90% milk.
Wait. And what?
Flat whites are like mostly milk.
No. Oh, is it there no foam? That's the thing.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just like a little bit of coffee and a lot of milk. And then like there was one night, I don't know why I'm bringing up Melbourne so much, but I got kind of drunk in Melbourne. I did a comedy show and then like stumbled back to my hotel, and there was like a 7-Eleven type place across the street from my hotel. And I was like, oh, I just need to get like water. I need to drink like a bunch of water before I go to sleep because I was drunk. And then I grabbed a bottle of water and I got in line, and there were like four drunk dudes in front of me, and they all were holding like a pint of milk. I was just like, what is this place? So I was already kind of like, it was in my head that I was like, they put too much milk in their coffee. That's like a morning thing. And then I was like, it was like 3 a.m. and I was just like, is that like a thing? Like everyone in Australia just gets drunk and then like chugs milk before they go to sleep. It's very weird.
That is so strange.
And it happened in New Zealand too. Same exact thing, but they were kind of like rowdy teenagers were like buying late night milk.
You sure it wasn't like a Australia only like milky Four Loko type product?
No.
Like
this was
milk with alcohol.
No, this was milk. Definitely just straight up milk in Melbourne.
You know when you see it.
And then in Auckland, maybe, because it was like teenagers buying milk late at night. And then I kind of was like, well, maybe this is like silly milk. But I'd already been, I was in Australia before New Zealand. So I was kind of just like, this whole Oceania region just loves milk.
I do remember having one, I think it was a latte, not a flat white, but it was the best tasting coffee. It was a latte, the best tasting coffee I ever had. And like, I also feel that's an experience, like I'm chasing it ever since. Just like this non-bitter tasting coffee.
What was the weirdest city for you?
Sydney, that was when I was like at the height of my sickness. So I didn't do anything. I just ordered takeout Thai food. Because I was, again, chasing the Adelaide Thai experience, but was not as good. I went to the hospital in... New Zealand. Went to the emergency room, and then the emergency room was like, it's going to be forever. And so then I went to urgent care. And I had an outstanding medical bill in New Zealand for like 2 years. And I was like, I may never go back. I can just like never pay. And then I got really scared and paid it.
How much was it?
It was only like $200.
What's the difference between urgent care and emergency room?
Joe, oh my God.
I don't know.
Oh my God. Urgent care is like a doctor's office where they're open on nights and weekends. So like you see not your regular doctor, you just see a doctor on like at a no appointment necessary, walk in.
Can I tell you a weird thing about my special that is relevant, which was that I taped my special in January in New York. It was very cold.
Where?
At Highline Ballroom. And it's like most specials, it was two shows in one night. And after my second show, the plan was like to meet my friends at like a nearby bar and celebrate. And like the second show ended, and the second show was really good. That's like primarily what the footage from the special is from the second show. And I got off stage and I went up to the green room, and then immediately just like felt horrible.
What do you mean?
Like my stomach really hurt, and I felt really nauseous in a way that was like, it wasn't like nerves. I was just like, suddenly just like, I felt like very ill. It was very, you know, I was just like, what the fuck's happening? But I was like, maybe this is just like a flood of like emotions or something. I was like, you know, I'd never done anything like that before. So I was like, maybe this just happens when you like finish something big that you've been like preparing for months. And then I went to the bar and I was still feeling really sick, and I was like seeing these friends who like live in New York who I haven't seen in a while, and like everyone's like celebrating my special, but like I had to keep like getting up and going to the bathroom because I was like thought I was gonna throw up. And then after like 45 minutes I told Kylie, my wife, I was like, I have to get out of here, like I feel crazy. And we went back to the hotel and tried to go to sleep, and then I like ended up like throwing up a bunch. And then At like 4 or 5 in the morning, I like woke her up and I was like, I need to go to the hospital.
What?
Like, I was like, it was like that bad. And she was like laughing at me because I had been throwing up and like was in the like fancy like hotel bathroom.
What hotel? So,
like, I woke her up, like, clearly had just finished vomiting, but I was like very like luxurious.
You look like Madonna. Yeah. Just got home from the tour.
Yeah, like, or Mariah Carey or something. And then
what hotel were you at?
What's that called? It's the like nautical themed hotel in the meatpacking district.
Okay. I wouldn't know called. It anyways, but
okay. You would recognize it because every like window is like a porthole. It's like huge.
Oh, cool.
It's a large building on like 8th or 9th Avenue.
At like 17th and 8th or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That used to be, I had friends who used to live around the corner from there.
Did you just
Yes, because I feel like there's this common thing where people who used to live in New York, they always want to be like, oh, I remember.
No, it was like a mental institution or something, right?
It was like a runaway home.
Right.
It was
like an orphanage.
It was basically, it was a safe haven for runaways.
And they turned it into like a ace style hotel.
Oh,
it's like
sucks.
The rooms are like super small and claustrophobic, but they're like nice. Whatever. So I threw it, and then we had to go to the hospital, and like the funny thing was like they couldn't really identify what was going on. I just had like some crazy stomach flu virus thing, and then I was like, well, we have to go back to LA today. We were flying back to LA, and they gave me like IV and just like pumped me full of like anti-nausea crazy medicine, and I still don't know what I had, but it was like a severe thing, and like that was just so crazy that like I was clearly just so like worked up with adrenaline and stuff that like I was able to do 2 shows for my and then it didn't hit me until like, but it was crazy. It was like the moment it ended, I went back into the green room and it like hit me like a ton of bricks. So
that is so crazy. When I feel like this is this thing that I'm just now learning about, and I want to talk to someone who understands like the science behind it, because when I was shooting my show, everyone was like, you're going to get sick the second you stop shooting. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, this happens to everyone. Just so you know, like, your adrenaline is pumping through you while you're shooting, and then everybody just crashes that as soon as it ends.
Well, that's certainly what happened to me.
Yeah. But so I'm hearing it now so often that it must be true, and it's, I don't know, what is that? Is it really just adrenaline like keeps you healthy?
I don't know. I mean, like, it definitely like got me through the special, and then like I was sitting there like so sick with like an IV, and I kept falling asleep, and meanwhile Kylie was like so hungover. So like she certainly could have used an IV too, you know. So she was just sitting there just like miserable watching me get fluids into my, and then it was funny, we went back to the hotel after that. It was like a few hours, and she was the most hungover I've ever seen her, I think. And we ordered like shitty room service pasta at like 10 a.m. and I've never seen her more happy that she was just like just like feeding like chicken pasta into her face. It was great.
Oh my gosh.
So funny.
I've also noticed that because when we were shooting the show, that I had the hiccups, and the second we started shooting, the hiccups went away. And I don't know if that is also a similar concept, but
I wonder that would ruin a show if an actor had like severe hiccups.
Well, you could probably cut around it, but it would definitely be a pain. I don't know. I remember being really embarrassed because it was a day where we had like a bunch of my friends were there, and I was just like, I think I was hiccuping because I was nervous, but it went away. So that was good. How was the flight back? Were you like super nauseous or were you fine?
I was fine. Those are powerful drugs. They gave me like, I looked it up later, like the anti-nausea medicine they gave me was for like people on chemotherapy. So I was like fine. I forget what it's called. I'll send it to you later. I still have the info.
You still have the pack, the IV pack, some of the liquid.
Yeah.
That would be cool. So your comedy special, I remember talking to you about it like before you actually shot it, and you were explaining it to me, and it sounded like it's not your average comedy special.
Well, there's a premise, it's an hour long comedy special, which is pretty like standard, mm-hmm. but it's sort of bookended with this sketch stuff that I wrote, which is sort of the premise is that I'm trying to win this big award. So like the first part of the special is me getting advice from people as to like things I need to do within the special to like make sure that I like am in consideration for the award. And then after the special is over, that there's like the award show footage. We shot the award show.
Whoa, wait, can you share with us any of the people who give you advice, or is it all a secret?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's Bo Burnham and George Wallace are the former winners of the award who give me advice. And then NBA All-Star Blake Griffin plays my best friend. And
oh my God.
He's giving me very specific advice about what I need to do to find like the right kind of director for the special.
And who ended up directing it?
My friend Dan Longinot directed it.
Oh, I know Dan.
You know Dan.
Yeah.
But within the special, we say that I say that Roman Polanski directed it. So to make the special seem like more highfalutin.
Yeah. Is he back in the States?
No. Oh. That was, yeah, I mean, you'll see. That's sort of the joke. It's like, it's a win-win. Like, I can say, what's he going to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Dave, you look like...
What? No, I didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
I don't know why you just shoved the mic in my face. I'm excited for the special. I'm sure it's going to, I mean, you know, big Joe Mandy fan.
I'm excited. I got a push notification today.
Yeah, I was there when you got it. That was cool.
That
I'm
was
just
going
to keep the mic. No, Esther, you don't have the, this is not your podcast anymore. You gave me the mic.
How do you even get that push notification about your special?
No, yeah, I mean,
wait, hold on,
Netflix,
I have a question.
I have like the Netflix app or whatever, and they occasionally like promote stuff.
Yeah, but
so I was at work today, and then I got a push notification saying like, check out Joe Mandy special coming out in 1 week.
I think we need to turn on notifications within the Netflix app or in settings.
Right.
Or
I mean, that's on me. I don't know why those are on, but
yeah,
they happen to be on. And
wait, I have questions.
I have two important questions.
Okay.
One is something that you're famously known for is that you bought 1 million Twitter followers.
Sure.
I just want to like know where are you at now mentally and emotionally with this experience. Like, did you learn anything
from buying followers?
Yeah. Did you get what you wanted?
It happened. I mean, I did it. I mean, Dave was there for the whole process. That's when we were both writing for Parks and Rec, and we were at work one day reading an article about how like all of like half of Justin Bieber and Katy Perry, all their followers are fake, a large majority. And so I was like, I'm going to buy 1 million followers.
For the record, my pitch was that you buy like
35.
I was like, you're not, it's not that expensive to become the most followed person on
I know
Twitter.
That was
like,
I mean,
it would be a few $1,000. Like, it was really
was
at the time
that
the
was
economics
the plan.
Were,
that
yeah.
was the plan, and it was just so difficult to get to 1 million. Like, it, like, you were there. I kind of like it, I descended into madness.
It wasn't about, it wasn't the money, it was that you have to like deal with so many different like bot farmers or whatever. They only do a few
very
thousand
strange
at a time.
People.
But at
and
least
then,
that's the way it was.
Yeah, and then like they kept like there were some people who sold bots that were like shitty that would get deleted immediately, and then I would demand my money back, but they were just like these weirdos on the internet who just had like my PayPal information. And then there was one guy in Moldova who just was crushing it. I think like I ended up buying like 900,000 followers, and I would say like over 600,000 were from this one guy in Moldova.
How do they do it?
I don't know. They just like, they're just like these weird accounts with like fake Rush. Like, all the characters and their profile names are in like the Russian alphabet. And,
How much did this cost you?
Overall, it was like $400 or $500.
That's it.
Yeah. But Kylie, who was not on board, made me promise that for every dollar I spent on bots, I would donate $1 to charity. So it ended up being like $1,000.
So do you still have all those followers?
They're all there. Our friend Harris at the time hated the bit because he was like, you're trying to have it both ways. You're trying to be cool, but also like you'll have a million followers. So then I was like, I'm not. And so I'll put it in my bio. So it's still there in my bio. It says I bought $1 million. I bought a million followers for $400. Because he was very upset. He was very upset that I might be trying to portray myself as a person with a million legit followers. And that's my favorite thing actually now that it's in my bio is that like I would say a few times a week some usually like Trump idiot on Twitter will try to like humiliate me by being like, I looked into it and you bought your followers. It's so like cool. You looked into it, you read my bio. Like you think you're humiliating me.
That's so funny. That like I will say that you buying all those followers, I feel like affected me and my view of Twitter because I was like I don't think I like ever thought this through, but it did make me be like, well, this is so stupid.
It's so dumb. That's like that was the overall point. I mean, the goal was like to get to a million and then start a Kickstarter that was like, well, I did this, so help me get 35 million. Like, let me be the number one person on Twitter. But like, it was so grueling just to get what? I went crazy. I like went legit crazy. Like all I could dream about was bots and like buying bots and like people, you know, taking bots away from me.
Well, you would wake up and thousands of your bots would have been slaughtered overnight, and it was very sad.
Like
for you.
Literally, like yeah. Hundreds of like I would go to sleep with 700,000 followers, then wake up with like 400,000.
You'd be like legit upset the next day, like they were like your children. It was crazy.
I was, or your legions,
or something.
It was really not. I was not mentally healthy at that point. No.
Did you guys want to talk about Sun Shenanigans? I was just curious.
Oh, yes. Sun Shenanigans.
I don't know what that is.
That was... I can recap quickly. Okay.
Yeah, I think we should hear Joe's version of it first.
Okay, I'm very confused.
The last season of Parks and Rec, about 6 or 7 of the writers were invited to go to Bumbershoot in Seattle.
Wait, Sun Shenanigans.
Yeah, so we flew from Burbank to Seattle.
Wait.
No, what? It's okay. It's okay.
But why? What is that name? Oh my God.
No, you'll remember.
Oh my God.
A bunch of us, it was great. You're not being ambushed.
I've been framed.
You have not, because I think you're a champion in this story. a bunch of the Parks and Rec writers and our loved ones boarded this plane from Burbank to Seattle, and we were having a good time. And then as the plane was loading, there was what appeared to be a bachelorette party.
Yeah, like the last 6 women on the plane, people on the plane, were women who were all part of the same group.
And it was a Southwest flight, I believe. So it's one of those, like, they treat it like a bus. So it's like first come, first serve. So this group of 6 or 7 women in a bachelorette party all came on the plane wearing hats. They matching hats that says Sun Shenanigans. Hashtag Sun Shenanigans. S-U-N.
I have a picture perfect memory of this, but keep going.
Which is so funny because they were flying from Burbank to Seattle, which is famously a cloudy, rainy city. Sun Shenanigans. But the bachelorette party appeared to be in Seattle, and they found their seats.
Well, we overheard them saying that not only was it in Seattle, it was like, no, it's so awesome. Like, it's its own island. It's off the coast of Seattle. Like, we have half the island because Becca hooked us up. It's going to be fucking sick. Like, they were every tip. Like, they were Valley Girls or something.
Yeah, they were. And then, as people were getting ready to take off, the Sun Shenanigans girls, like, were getting kind of rowdy and, like, yelling at each other, and they were trying to like get the party started a little early.
Yeah.
To the point that people began complaining to the flight staff before the flight had even taken off.
Okay.
And I believe if memory serves correct that you you were one of the people who was like immediately like tattling on the Sun Shenanigans
Me?
Girls. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Dave?
He's coming back.
I was saying that like Esther was one of the first people to tattle on the Sun Shenanigans girls.
Well, this is when we learned that Esther has a philosophy in life, which is
always tattle.
Always.
It's only applicable to people who are like causing immediate ruckus or like inappropriate behavior.
Well, they were, yeah, for sure.
To your immediate like peace. So it only applies to like let's say someone's just smoking a cigarette and they're, you know, legally they're not supposed to be smoking. It's your outside coffee bean.
Tattle.
Like that's a tattle. And this situation, you're being very rowdy on a
so
plane. That's
you,
a tattle.
You and a couple other people on the flight tattled.
Here's my recollection of the exact chronology of what happened, which is that they were split up. It was like two girls were in one little row, two girls were
they
in another.
They were dispersed.
Yeah, they were dispersed. And then the someone complained to them,
yeah,
to the stewardess.
Not Esther. Someone
not
before
Esther.
We didn't know that at the time.
Well, we did. I guess you didn't. But what happened?
What started some of the ruckus, if that's the word you want to use, was that the girls who were separated were unhappy about it and were trying to bargain with people to move their seat and like rearrange.
There was a lot of like, why don't, but I have an aisle so you could take an aisle. It's the same.
Yeah.
A lot of like standing up, laughing, making loud noises, disrupting the peace of the whole plane.
Standing up, laughter on a plane. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
So anyway, they were very drunk.
They absolutely. A stewardess.
Intoxicated.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
Right.
The technical
otherwise,
term. Great, very helpful. A stewardess came up to them, and instead of issuing, someone had complained, instead of issuing a stern warning, the stewardess made a mistake and said, is everything okay over here?
Yeah.
And the girls were like, it's totally fine. We figured it out. Jill take the window. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all fine.
We'll be there soon.
And the stewardess was like, are we sure? Like, instead of saying like, you guys are being a little too loud and you guys need to like take your seats and calm down.
This is your retelling of it.
No, I mean, I remember this.
I know that happened, but that doesn't feel relevant yet.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
sure.
And whether it's relevant or not is sort of, I guess, for the listeners to decide. You may not have seen that happen, but then what?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Then the girls or women continue to be loud, and
I would argue even louder. They were getting kind of a kick out of being like reprimanded, and they were like, "Oh, we're naughty."
At which point, Esther, in my recollection, like climbed over two people to go to the back and tattle to a stewardess.
And I just said, "There's some." I don't remember specifically what I said, but
I'm sorry.
I don't remember specifically what I said, but I was like, "They're being really loud. Like I don't know what you can just tell them to be quiet." Something along those lines,
right?
And
they were very loud,
but that was it. The stewardess came up to them
second,
and was like,
"Two strikes, you're out."
Apparently, and they were like, "You," but only the two of them,
right? There are two girls in particular,
and they were like, "But this is the last flight. Like we'll miss half the whole week."
Yeah, she came up and she's like, "You guys have to get off the plane."
Right. Yeah. So then, like Becky and Willa had to get off the plane. And then as they were leaving, my favorite part was as these two girls were being escorted off the plane, she yelled to the back of the plane, take off your hats.
It's the hats.
Like they thought they were being discriminated. It was like a civil rights issue. Like take off your hats. Like they discriminating against us because of our Sun Shenanigans hat. But then it became this thing where like, they were like, well, Becky and Willa aren't like, we can't leave without them. So then they eventually all got off the plane. It was like one for all type thing.
It was
so strange.
I remember that like the stewardess came up to them and was like, you guys have to get off the plane. They're like, what?
Yeah.
No. And like it went from like, are you joking to like, oh my god,
it was a crisis.
And I was sitting there, I was in a seat right behind them, and I was watching this all go down within a foot of my own body.
Proximity.
And
well, you were next to a Sun Shenanigan girl.
Yeah, and I just remember being like, oh, fuck. Like, I had never thought in a million years they'd be kicked off the plane. That was never my intention.
The power of a tattle.
I was so shocked, and you were very upset. immediately I was a villain to you, but I didn't mean for this.
I felt badly. I felt very badly for them, and I eventually came to understand I lay the blame at the stewardess and not you, but I do think it's odd that your always tattle philosophy was only reinforced by this experience. You were like, I did it right.
No, I mean,
you were a hero to the plane.
You get a taste
plane.
Of that power.
That's another thing.
Well, it's just... Like I said, I was just, all I wanted was for them to just be quiet. And I think I had a reasonable want. And the stewardess.
It was an evening flight.
Yeah.
It was like, you chill out.
Well, what is your take on this? Because obviously Dave.
It was hilarious. I mean, the whole flight was sort of impactful for me in many ways. Like the whole Sun Shenanigans element was like. Hilarious and confusing and dramatic. And then once they left and the plane took off, our friend Matt Murray taught me a lesson that I still use to this day, which is always order two drinks on a plane.
Why?
Just order two at once. And it's great. Like, you like, cause you know, you only have limited FaceTime with a stewardess. So like,
it's a great idea. This is something that Esther will never understand.
Oh yeah, you don't drink.
Yeah,
right?
This is just like,
no. But I have my own travel hacks. But
yeah, no, it's great. You order two drinks at once, so then you're just kind of like set for the flight. I get, you know, people cry on planes. I don't laugh at anything, but I crack up at movies and stuff on planes.
Why do people cry watching movies, you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's like an air pressure thing, and I think there's also in the back of your mind, you know how powerless you are, that you could die at any point, so people like are prone to like crying and stuff.
There's some theories that the other factors involved in people crying on planes is that you're often like emotionally heightened because you're going either like to or from loved ones. It's right. Often during the holidays, or like right. You're flying for a special occasion. Also, like, you are unusually focused on the movie because, like, if you're watching something at home, you've got whatever
distractions
yeah. And it's like, yeah.
It
is a weird phenomenon. It's definitely a phenomenon.
It is. Because I don't laugh at anything, but, like, I'll put on, you know, like, I have past seasons of, I have a thumbnail drive with, like, all the Sunnies, Sunny right. In Philadelphia, and, like, I cry laughing. Like, I'm like I'm laughing so hard at everything, which is just so strange because like I'm like I feel like I'm stone faced throughout, like, normally when I watch comedy stuff.
I don't want to move too far past from Sun Shenanigans because there's two
things we covered it.
Well, no, one, I want to know, do you think that I was bad? Did I do a bad thing?
No, but it was my introduction to your tattle philosophy, which I mean, I will say, like, I was sort of like just a I was sort of off to the side watching it all, and like you were an integral part of the dramatic experience.
Yeah, you're painting a picture like you were the villain of the plane. You were the hero.
People were so happy
that they got kicked off. Well, and when they found out that you had complained, people were like, thank you.
I know, but you made me feel, David, you made me feel really bad about myself at this moment.
Well,
like,
Dave,
you were so embarrassed, and like, you treated me like
Dave's like the ultimate contrarian. So if everyone on the plane is happy that you tattled, he's going to find a reason to be like, well, you were wrong.
I was not as upset at you as I was feeling terrible for these girls who just
Becky,
like,
Becca got the half the island. They had half the island.
I just feel like if someone had said to them, you have to calm down, this is a warning, none of this would have happened. And so it was just like a shitty circumstance.
That is a shitty thing that flight attendants do. Like, they just jump like to the worst thing. I remember once when I was traveling with my dog Pepper, and he was really... Why are you flying?
Pepper.
He was so bad that I had to hold him on my lap, and the flight attendant just handed me this sheet of paper. They didn't say anything. They just handed me this sheet of paper, and it said, like, warning, like, upon landing, like, you will be facing criminal charges. And like,
what?
Yeah. And I was like, and like, fine up to $10,000. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
for what?
I don't know. And I was so scared. Like, the rest of the flight, I was like in tears, like, what's going to happen? And then I landed and nothing happened.
When Kylie and I went to Spain a few years ago, I tried to smuggle Iberian ham.
What's that?
It's like very fancy, kind of like prosciutto type ham. It's like the best in the world. Like, I bought a bunch, I put it in my backpack, and then went through customs, and they like found it. This is like a crazy like 14-hour flight or whatever. And we landed, and we were at the customs, and the guy found the ham, and he was like, "You didn't write this down. This is like contraband." And I was like,
"Wait, from what country?"
From Spain.
Okay.
And I was like, I know. And it was like $200 worth of ham. Like, it was like not that much, but yeah. Like, that's how good it is. And then I was like, "But it's vacuum sealed." I was like so tired and fucked up and jet lagged. And I was like I can't even like replicate it, but like I said, it's vacuum sealed, but it came out like, "But it's vacuum sealed." I was like on the verge of tears, like already. Like, I was like, "But no, it's okay. Like, there's no viruses or whatever they were worried about." And he was like, "I gotta take this." And we're like, "Okay." And then he was like about to throw it in the trash. And I was like, "No, eat it. Like, someone needs to eat that. Like, it's the best ham in the world."
Why did you have to sneak it?
Because it's illegal.
Oh, okay.
But I thought, like, I had been told if you just put it in your backpack, it's fine. No one will find it.
He plays a hamon. It's, what is it called?
Hamon.
Imbirico?
Imbirico.
It plays an integral part in the pilot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm surprised you're not familiar.
That's true.
With it.
I know. I remember. I just needed my memory jogged. I have one last question about Sun Shenanigans before we're able to officially move on. I don't remember that it was called Sun Shenanigans, and when you said it, Joe knew what you were talking about, which implies to me that you guys have been talking about this a lot.
No, it just, in the Parks Room, Sun Shenanigans, like,
that's what I'm saying,
had a life of its own.
This is what I'm saying.
It wasn't about you. It wasn't like you playing a villain. It was just,
I believe,
like,
that
we were all, we, I think we tried very hard to get the, that word combination into a Parks and Rec script after the fact, just like, how do we get Sun Shenanigans in? Cause it was just like, you know, half the room had been so like intimately involved with the drama of Sun Shenanigans. And it was just, they had matching hats that had like puff paint. Like, a lot of work went into the Sun Shenanigans.
I remember them being like neon.
Yeah, they were trucker green hats with like neon puff paint. Neon like green and yellow, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're, Esther, you're not as big a player in the story of Sun Shenanigans as you want to be.
That sounds true. That's a shame.
But also, I don't want to diminish your role, because you were a part of it.
I was like kind of the leading, I mean, I was the villain. That's a big role.
You were, I mean, if anything, you were like the hero. Kaiser Soze, where like,
what's that reference?
What? Really?
I mean, just that even if you haven't seen The Usual Suspects, Kaiser Soze is like such a common reference that I feel like these people, well, whatever, I don't know. People know what it's from and understand what it means.
Or you're verbal Kent. Like, it's hard to tell if you're the hero or the villain. But that you're a complicated figure within the story and kind of the hero.
I haven't seen it, but I think it gets referenced to me a lot because they mentioned Skokie in it.
Yeah, very much.
Barbershop Quartet,
that's where
everyone,
the dry erase board is made.
Yeah. Everyone knows is like, wait, I think there's a corkboard factory in Skokie.
Well, maybe that.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that in the movie too?
Yes.
Oh. Spoiler.
Sorry.
Oh.
But not really.
Not really.
You should see that movie. It's
why?
Great. It's one of the best movies ever made.
I wonder why it gets a Skokie. I wonder why Skokie gets a shout out.
You'll see. If you watch it, you'll see.
It makes sense if you see the movie.
Yeah.
I don't.
Already said
Skokie. Is that like the biggest shout out to Skokie? You think?
It must be, because that's the most common thing that I get when I say where I'm from.
I was talking about this
that
today.
And the KKK
I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Jonathan Franzen's book Freedom came out a few years ago, and there's a storyline in the Jonathan Franzen book that it's so surreal when you read stuff like this. Like, it takes place on my block.
What?
Like, literally, like the street parallel to my street, and like there are all these references to like shit in my neighborhood, and like the recreational center that I played basketball at, like, is like where the, it's just like, it makes you feel crazy when you read like a good book that's like set in like a place you're familiar, because it's just like, I don't know how to feel.
That's kind of how I felt when I saw Mean Girls.
Does that take place in Skokie?
It takes place, I think, in Evanston, in the North Shore.
Yeah.
And when they say Old Orchard Mall, I talk about this like once a day. They say they're in Old Orchard Mall. Old Orchard Mall is an outdoor mall, and they say that they're, but they're in an indoor mall.
Sure.
And it's like, I saw that movie at Old Orchard Mall, and like the whole theater, we were roaring, we were screaming.
When I moved here from New York, like literally 2 weeks before I moved here, my block in Williamsburg, New York was shut down twice, once for an episode of Girls and another for an episode of How to Make It in America. And I was like, my life's a joke. Like, it's officially like a joke.
Why?
Well, it's just like, literally they're like isolating my block because it's like, so like quintessential hipster Brooklyn, whatever, that I was just like, I need to get out of here.
You're right in the pocket of it all.
Totally.
You are from Minnesota, mm-hmm. which I spent a lot of summers and winters in Minnesota.
And winters?
Well, winter break, like the 2 weeks
that year. That sucks. That's the worst time.
I know.
Why were you there?
That's where my grandparents lived.
Okay. What part?
They first lived in Maple Grove for like the first half of it of life, and then they moved to Eagan.
Eagan, sure.
Are you, how far?
I'm much more familiar with Eagan. I was in Eagan a lot.
How come?
Well, it's just close to St. Paul. Okay. There's just like shit out there, like malls and stuff. Everything's malls.
Yeah. Well, that's like the Midwest, which I think that.
For Minnesota specifically, I mean, like my mall was the Mall of America.
Right.
That's like where I went to get like shoes.
That's cool. I obviously went there a lot too, and I love it so much. Did you go to Camp Snoopy?
It's now Nickelodeon.
I know.
Yeah,
of course,
branded. But yeah, of course. I went back. I did a show in Minneapolis a couple years ago, and went back to the Mall of America, and it was eerie that like I still had like all these like sense memories. Like I knew exactly where I was. Like a lot of the stores are different, but like it freaked me out that like I still had the like layout of the Mall of America like in my head. I knew exactly where I was. I knew how to get everywhere.
That's crazy. Cause I have that with my mall, with Old Orchard Mall, but to have that with Mall of America is
crazy.
Cause that mall is so big that you could only understand how big it is if you've been there. It just doesn't make sense how big of a mall it is.
It's stupid. It's so big. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't, what would you even compare it to?
You actually can't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like.
Like a city? I don't, an indoor city?
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
Because it's dumb. It's a mall with an amusement park in the middle of it with two different roller coasters. Like, it's insane.
That is one of my favorite roller coasters because it's not scary. It's just like a chill roller coaster.
It's funny because like it used to be Knott's Berry Farm.
I know.
So it's like not scary. But it is kind of scary because I feel like someone dies on the log flume once a year.
What?
Someone always. But it's a suicide. People like jump off.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
But not like.
Or that's the story. Maybe there's someone.
A murder mystery that we're going to dive into right now.
Yeah.
Wait, Dave, you went to Minnesota this year with me. Was that your first time ever going?
Was my first time in the state of Minnesota, yeah.
How'd you like it?
Well, we were there in the winter, and we were there for a sad occasion, which was a funeral, but it was beautiful, and I'm from the Boston suburbs, and it definitely felt like a kindred spirit there, very similar vibes.
I love Minnesota so much.
I love it, too. I feel like if the Timberwolves make the playoffs this year, I'm probably gonna, I haven't talked to my wife about this, but like if they get into the playoffs, I might just like find an Airbnb and just like stay out there for the playoffs to try to go to all the playoff games.
How like long is that?
I mean, it could be as long as like a month. I'm also probably going to be working, but I'll figure it. This is a big deal for me. They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years, and like I need this.
If this is serious, like there's potential for me to set you up at my grandma's.
I will.
Because
yeah, why
she
not?
Has a nice place, and there's like the bottom floor is like a guest
this
area.
Is great. I mean, I love this. Yeah. It's in Eagan?
In Eagan, yeah.
Okay.
And she's feisty.
Okay.
But She's very, you know what? She's feisty with family, but she's very nice to guests.
Great. And I would be a guest who slowly becomes family. So it'll go, it'll get bad towards the end, but that's just because we've become so close.
Well, you like to drink. So yeah. Then you guys would get along.
Great. I drink the same thing as Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know if you ever heard that.
Is that how you're going to be brought on stage now?
Yeah. I do not believe Gwyneth Paltrow drinks Maker's Mark.
I think she's all bullshit and she just does bad stuff.
So she like puts her like sex dust into her... Do you know about sex dust?
Yeah, I do. Okay. It's from... Do you?
Moon Juice.
Moon Juice is a juice place and they sell like... beauty dust, sleep dust, and sex dust, which is such like exploiting all of our insecurities to the max. It's so unfair.
What do you do with sex dust?
You fuck it.
It's it's as bad as you think. It's literally just like a potion that you add to your smoothie.
And it makes you sexy. Oh, God,
or like make you have like, what is it called? The things that... When you eat like certain things and they make you want to have sex.
Aphrodisiacs.
Yeah, it's like one of those. That's my guess. But personally, if I were to go for a dust, I'd go for the beauty dust. But hey.
Do we agree that the waiter who told us that this was Gwyneth Paltrow's drink, like he had a thyroid condition or something was going on? He was coked up. Like
He was cocaine because he was like dripping wet with sweat. And it was
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he was like soaked.
Waters? Can I get water? We'll get waters go. It was like, whoa, bro. Dude.
He then disappeared for a long time.
Yeah.
He was not.
Cocaine. Yeah,
started
exactly.
Started strong, ended.
That sounds symptomatic. Yeah.
Wow. Well, is this it?
I guess. I mean, it feels like we wrapped it up with a nice little bow.
I know. I feel like I could keep going forever and ever.
I mean, I'm having a great time. I feel like I should just get your grandma's info. Well, let's wait till the All-Star break. Yeah. Let's see how like the record is. But like, I'm down.
I definitely feel confident recommending my grandma's place because if it was like, say my parents, absolutely not. They're crazy. But my grandma is like a normal.
I like this because like my best friend from high school lives in Excelsior, which is pretty far away. And he has like a kid now. And I don't want to like intrude on his like familial life. So like, but like me and your grandma can just like sit and drink and watch Timberwolves games.
Honestly, and her husband, my grandfather died this year. I think like, so she's. It would be, yes, you could be her companion. I mean,
it could turn romantic. Who knows? I don't want to, but
you
maybe
are married, and I mean, there's some
But who knows?
Who knows? Does she still have the dogs, or did the dogs?
No, the dogs. My grandfather had two black labs, and they're Republican, so they didn't live with them.
Their wabs are
no. My grandparents are Republican, and associate that if you're a person that could have dogs that don't live with you but live in a different place, you must be Republican.
And I see. It's being able, comfortable with that distance.
Yes. But towards the end, they were coming to the house more and more. But so he had two black labs and they didn't live with them. So my aunt has taken them. But I offered to take them and I wasn't allowed to take them.
You offered? We never discussed this. You offered to take two giant black labs?
Cal and Cody, they were very well trained.
Our home?
Yeah, they're hunting dogs.
Yeah, they're hunting dogs.
You never once told me that you did you seriously offer to take two giant black labs?
Yes, my dead grandfather's dogs. Yes, I did. But don't worry, no one in my family likes or has respect for me, so I was just denied.
Yeah.
And I probably knew that going in, there would be no chance.
That it was an empty gesture.
But I really wanted them because who wouldn't want two trained black labs?
Oh, yeah.
Me. Yeah. I don't want that at my house. We have donut. We're doing good.
Anyways.
I have two giant dogs.
I want to know everything about that.
Well,
but
let's do a second episode. Yeah. I'm around, dude.
Okay.
This was a long time coming.
I know. Thank you for doing the show.
My pleasure. I hope people like it.
I have a good feeling about this episode. So your comedy special is out on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
July 25th.
Yeah, July 25th.
And you're on Twitter, but you already have as many followers as you need.
I don't care. We feel free to follow, but I don't give a shit.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Joe.
Cool.
Excited to see your special.
Thanks. Feral Audio.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle, the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read them in studio. This is a clip from Top Gun, which was rewritten and never seen by comedian Caleb Sinan. I think you're really going to like it. Check it out.
All right. Interior. This movie takes place inside. Interior. The Army. I don't know if that's what
I think the Lakers never put a question mark
yeah, it
in
says
the
interior,
location.
The Army?
I think the Army. Daytime. That's when most of the Army. All right. Tom Cruise walks into a big Army building. There's flags and Army men and manila folders that say top secret on them. It's the goddamn Army, that's for sure. Tom Cruise walks to the Army man break room and kicks in the door. Tom Cruise.
I'm fucking Tom Cruise!
A general with a general hat comes over to Tom Cruise. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's a grizzled man. He's been a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general.
I wouldn't have introduced the character. I wouldn't have made us say what characters we were if I knew the first line everyone had was their name.
I also love that it's the Army. I mean, like, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know it's about planes, right?
Yeah, it's the Air Force for sure.
All right.
Why didn't it say top Air Force or top plane?
Lead back in.
Call it plane.
Give us it, especially pretty boys.
He's a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general. I got a cigar, and I'm grizzled. I've been a general for 50 years, and I don't take guff from pretty boys like you.
Wow. I feel like I know a lot about your character already.
Shut up, there's more. And I don't care who the hell you are. This is the Army. You can't say fuck. When you say fuck, we say hell high.
The general and Tom Cruise stare at each other for a beat and then both burst out laughing.
Okay, I think I'm gonna like it here.
The general and Tom Cruise do a cool, very loud handshake, and the camera zooms in on their gigantic, veiny biceps.
Welcome to the danger zone, bitch.
All right, exterior. We're outside now. On the beach, daytime. Tom Cruise and Kenny Loggins are walking down the beach. They're shirtless. They got hairy chests. They don't have erections, but everybody else does. Even babies. That's right. These dudes are hot. Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around.
It's the first time that's ever been appropriate for the directions to say, anyways.
Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around, and the general's there, too.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.